Welcome to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. The ultimate insider's guide from signing day to the national championship game and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast.
Week 14, Conference Championship Week, here on the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast. Oh, yeah, you thought that just because the regular season was done that we were not going to be giving you locks? You were wrong. Wrong, like many reports about coaches that were going to be hired even if they weren't. Shout out to Jeff Brohm to Tennessee. That was a great, like, what, 2 hours, right, fellas?
Mean he didn't take it?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow. I saw like four reports that said he was pretty much on the verge of signing.
I know.
Oh, you're late. You're late, Tom. You went to bed early last night, man. It's
we're
it's
like three.
It's Dave Doran era right now.
Yeah, we're three coaches down the line, it seems.
Oh. After Doran says no, who's next?
I don't know, but I liked Barton's comment last night that when this Tennessee coaching search does end, it is going to be kind of sad. You know, this has been a good mini series, like the People versus O.J. Simpson. We've all had our twists and turns, and when it's over, I don't know what we're going to watch.
Yeah, but at the same time, Tennessee's coaching search is kind of distracting us from crazy things going on elsewhere, too, like at Arkansas, where there appears to be two different searches going on at the same time.
That's okay. That's all well and good. But Arkansas is basically just like sitting there doing nothing and scrambling internally, whereas Tennessee's out here like offering jobs to everybody and just getting rejected. I mean, this is entertainment, man. It's action.
You know what I think it is, honestly? I think it's because, you know, they didn't really float out the Schiano idea early, and then they saw the reaction. So now I feel like Tennessee's floating out anybody that they even think of just to make sure nobody picks up a torch and starts marching towards campus.
Well, they did. Did you see? So the Wes Rucker tweeted last night that, see, the ticket holders have been calling him and texting him saying that if it's Doran, they're all going to like march
to the ticket office,
march to the ticket office and cancel their season tickets. It's insane, man.
And then there's Jimbo Fisher.
See, Jimbo Fisher again seems tame because when I like look at this big picture, like Tennessee was the first one open. They've had the most time to go through this.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, we've given you coaching talk all week. I know you people tuned in for the Stone Cold Locks. To review from last week, pretty good week for Barton. We hit on Michigan +12, hit on Ole Miss +15, hit on Stanford +2.5. Hit on the Tennessee Vandy over. And again, you know what? That's me eating crow, because when you pitched a Tennessee Vandy over, I thought you were crazy. And that one, you were cruising to a cover there pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, that was clean right there.
UCF -10. It was a shootout. That was going to be tough to get. UCLA -7. So overall, a +2 week. Barton +22 on the scoreboard right now. A lot of action for Tom, but it all came out even. Hit on Michigan, Pitt +13.5, Auburn +4.5, and the Northern Illinois Central Michigan under. Wazoo +10 did not cash. The Kansas +40.5 did not cash. The Notre Dame Stanford under did not cash. But the saddest of those bad beats was the BYU Hawaii under 49, where the wind. The important thing to remember about the wonders, you know, a wind-based under, is that when the sun goes down, can't bet on those crosswinds anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Chip with your weather report.
Well, Chip just had an absolutely brutal week. Missed so poorly on Miami +13.5. Barton, that was not the super savvy play. That was just the wrong one.
You weren't outsmarting everybody on that one?
No, and I very quickly realized it. UVA +7, I don't hate it. I mean, it was a 10-0 game, and Virginia just was never going to do anything, but at the same time, my lack of faith in Virginia Tech, you know, whatever. All right, Duke +12, felt like that was maybe an on-the-field play that cashed. I was also a loser on Wazoo +10. I was a loser on Utah State plus 1.5 to a bad Air Force team thanks to a second half comeback from the Falcons. I was a loser on Michigan State Rutgers under 40 and a loser on Iowa Nebraska under 52. For those keeping track, that is Chip going from even par to five below net zero.
Oh man, that's a listen. But you know what? That happens sometimes when you're trying to come back late in the game and you get away from your game plan.
I threw a pick six. Absolutely.
You open yourselves up to some pick six opportunities.
So do you have 16 locks this week, Chip, to try to catch up?
No, I don't. Man, I've got four that I feel good about, and I've got two that Barton style I'm kind of mulling over and might pull in by the end of the show. But I think right now we're playing for pride, you know? We're playing for the name on the jersey at this point. So again, as we go into championship week, Barton plus 22, Tom plus 11, Chip minus 5. So, Barton, our leader, lock me up.
We're picking locks.
My blue plate special 5-star locks are coming.
Come get these locks.
5-star master lock. Lock it up.
You want these locks?
I'm living and dying every point, every cover. All right. First lock of the week. The one I'm most excited about, the one that I'm most confident in, is the showdown, the battle, the war brewing between UL Monroe and Florida State. Going non-championship here. UL Monroe plus 27?
Absolutely.
Yeah, give me a whole ball of that, and let me dip it in something, because that looks tasty. I like Florida State to show up and sleepwalk through this thing and get a win. I like, but they don't really care. They got a coach that Jimbo Fisher may not even be there by the time Saturday rolls around. He is hanging on, but I mean, it's clear he's going to A&M at this point from the tea leaves that I'm reading. And at this point, it seems like he's just hanging around trying to get to Saturday. And here we are on Thursday morning. Last night he got his call-in show was getting
contentious.
That's a good way of putting it. So I just think this is going to be a team that's distracted, a team that expects to win to get to a bowl, but is not exactly taking this game extremely seriously. While UL Monroe is, I mean, this is their Super Bowl. This is their opportunity to finish this season off on a high note, and they'll put all their eggs in this basket. I like UL Monroe plus 27.
I love it. I think that so the tea leaves include that Florida State hasn't been recruiting for a couple weeks.
No, but they've been losing recruits at an alarming rate.
And the players' parents are starting to complain. If Jimbo Fisher was trying to do the classy thing and finish the season, that plan has backfired very quickly.
He's reached the point of no return. At this point, if he comes back, you've done a lot of damage, not only just to your relationships, but to, you know, your recruiting classes, the trust that your players have, the fan base. It's just, how can you come back from this? He's got to be gone.
So Barton Simmons is predicting a technical career win for interim coach Odell Haskins and a UL Monroe plus 27 cover. I dig it. It's not a lock. I don't know. But I love the pick right there. Tom, what you got first?
Well, I'm not going to – I mean, Barton pulled the Tom and started off with the Louisiana Monroe game. So I'll go the other direction. I'll start with the Pac-12 title game, where I am taking USC minus 4 against Stanford.
Lock fight.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Uh-oh. I will fight you in the street, sir.
I had it at plus 3.5, but if we're going 4, I will definitely take it at plus 4 on that number. You go first.
It's not, you know, anything insane for me here as much as it's just I think USC is a better team. And also, one of the byproducts of not having a bye week during the entire season is that USC had a bye week before the conference title game. So USC had last week off to get ready for Stanford or Washington State, whoever it was going to play. Meanwhile, Stanford had to deal with Notre Dame. Bryce Love is still banged up, though he did play last week, and I don't know how healthy he's going to be going into the game. And just earlier this year, USC dominated Stanford. And while I typically go, when it comes to rematches, I tend to lean to the team that lost the first one. But that was so long ago that I feel like that it really that kind of effect doesn't come into play here. And I just think that USC in that game, I remember particularly, its offensive line dominated Stanford's defensive line, and its defensive line dominated Stanford's offensive line for the most part, except for when Bryce Love did break free for like the 70-yard run touchdown run that he's prone to get from time to time. But other than that, USC was just the much better team in that game, and I don't really expect all that much to change in this one. I don't think they're going to blow them out or anything, but I'm very comfortable giving up 4 points with the Trojans here.
Well, that, and I think that that's where I'm leaning to Stanford. My hooks here for the Cardinal play are, number one, like you said, it's been a long time, and Stanford's a very different team than they were in that first USC game. I do think that their offensive line and defensive line play has definitely been improved, and I think that the Notre Dame game was a big part of that. The Pac-12 North undefeated in Pac-12 championship games, and even in the losses since that USC game, they're both field goal losses. And so I think that with the plus four, like I made my expert pick Stanford on the field to get the win, but I think that this is going to be a really, really close and competitive game, and because of that, you know what? My bet is as much with Jet Toner as it is with Bryce Love. I think that Stanford's going to be able to move the ball. I think they're going to be able to get some points, hang around in this game. The thing that makes me nervous is that while Sam Darnold has had his ups and downs throughout the season, it is a very being able to beat Notre Dame soundly had a lot to do with the fact that Stanford was able to play Notre Dame like the one-dimensional team it was. And between Ronald Jones and Sam Darnold, this is a much more versatile Trojans offense. But I'm kind of betting on my Stanford plus four is, listen, Bryce Love, whatever. Like, he has had a sprained ankle for a month, and he's still running for a $160 and like multiple tutties. And so I think that whatever he's doing in terms of his treatment, he's going to be as close, he's going to be as good in this game as he was against Notre Dame or against Washington. So I think that I like the Cardinal to continue the Pac-12 North's dominance in the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah, I didn't play this one. I actually toyed with playing Stanford here. Chip knows that I've been sort of talking about Stanford from somewhere around week 5 on, saying this is a team that could get hot, and then by the end of the year you just don't want to play them. They've sort of teased that version of themselves as we've gotten towards the end of the year, and I think they still got a chance to put it all together. Obviously Notre Dame was an impressive win. Beating Washington was impressive. Those were both home games. This one is also going to be a home game. No, neutral site. Where do they play this game?
Home-ish. It's at the 49ers stadium.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I like Stanford here, but I just it's not enough for me to play this as a lock or pull the trigger on it. I'm intrigued.
Who will those empty seats be rooting for?
Yeah, who goes? who's going to Levi Stadium on Friday night to go watch a game between two teams that are playing for not even a Rose Bowl bid, because the Rose Bowl's in the semifinals? It's probably a Fiesta Bowl bid.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Lock fight on the board. So we got Barton, ULM plus 27, Tom, USC minus 4, Chip, Stanford plus 4. I'm going to take us to the action principal play, and I might need some somebody to back me up on the number here on what we want to lock in at, because the number is dropping. Noon kickoff, I am going UCF Memphis under 83.
Well, it's at 82 right now.
So do we have to? I got it at 83.5 at the win. 83 at CG.
The official consensus line 82. Is 82.
This thing opened at 85.5. So if you're listening to this and you want to get in on it, I'd jump in because it's dropping down. But yeah, no, principal play. Noon kickoff, UCF Memphis, championship game. I could see this being one where the scoring comes in spurts, but there could also be some sloppiness. Just thinking that all the factors at play, coaching, the championship, I'm 82 is too many dang points. I'm principal play, anything over 80, I'm going under.
Man, that was a ton of points. that was a lot of points. So this will be a fun game. I hope I can steal some time to watch it. I think they're going to both score a lot of points, but 82 is that's a ton.
Especially at like noon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it was like a mid-afternoon to evening game, I think it was more possible than it will be in the morning. Especially because I feel like the first quarter, like, can you take a first quarter under?
Oh, especially if the first quarter under is like 21 or 20 and a half, because I could definitely see this being 10-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, I feel like it'll be a slower first quarter before things really get going after that. So, yeah, I would really suggest a first half under. And then I like the under overall, too, just because, like you said, that's a principle. Once it gets over 80, I don't care.
I don't care. The under. Yeah, especially at noon. Over 80 at noon, like blind pick. Don't even know who's playing. But especially considering the championship, the stakes. Yeah, for sure. Anyone got an edge or comfortable about or a lean or even a lock on UCF Memphis against the spread?
I would not pick against University Residual Income in this game.
Right.
Like even last week, I think I might have said it. Like I didn't feel that was a principal play for me. I just wanted to throw another log on the fire. I didn't feel great about them covering that. I feel probably a little bit better about UCF covering this one. I've had a hard time for some reason. I've had a hard time trusting Memphis all year, and they've done a pretty good job of covering all year. So, you know, maybe that's on me, but their defense leaves something to be desired. So I could see UCF blowing this one out again. I mean, it is a home game. All the Scott Frost distractions in some ways, like, so there is a little bit of a distraction bowl element here because Scott Frost, we all kind of think he's going to Nebraska, right? And I think in some ways that's a benefit to UCF because it's like a culmination here of the Scott Frost era. Even if he's leaving, I think he's handled it the right way. He seems to be a pretty straightforward guy. I think I'm sure the guys will want to play for him. I think there's that is clean and clear cut. Whereas the Memphis deal, Mike Norvell is sort of hanging out here in limbo, potentially an Arkansas candidate. Maybe they're waiting on an AD hire. Maybe they're waiting on Gus Malzahn. I think there's more uncertainty if you're talking about what's going on that staff in that locker room in terms of Norvell's future than Scott Frost. So in some ways, there's an advantage there at UCF if you're trying to get into the psychology of this. So I would still lean UCF, but I'm definitely too scared to play it.
What do you think, Tom?
I lean UCF just because I think they're a better team than Memphis, but I'd like it a lot more at 6.5 than I do at 7, put it that way.
Ooh, Barton on the expert picks, bit on the hook.
What'd I pick?
Memphis plus 7.5. We had to pick it at.
I gotta be honest with you. I direct most of my research department towards the Locks podcast.
Hey, I'll take the expert picks. Hey, I'll take it. Yeah, I'm very 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 honored that this is the program that gets the most attention. All right,
it's most of the funding.
Yeah, exactly. We're happy with that. The lobbyists are doing their job. All right, Barton, you're up next.
I'm up.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the one of the biggest games of the weekend. Let's go to the Big Ten. This is sort of a game time switch for me.
Oh, you're going Ohio State.
I came into this pod. I woke up this morning with Wisconsin written down. Wisconsin -6 or +6.5. Come kickoff here. I'm switching it up. I'm going Ohio State.
Wow.
-6.5. Ultimately, it boils down to this. Like, I think, like, my head tells me Wisconsin wins or keeps it close. My head tells me Wisconsin is a really sound football team, plays really good defense, is going to test Ohio State in ways that Iowa tested them defensively. And just... And the world's against them. So everything when I just like break this game down, like that tells me like Wisconsin should win this. But as I went to bed last night, having picked that, like it just felt like that's the wrong side. And this is a spot where Ohio State comes in and just, you know, they've kind of got that us against the world mentality too. Like, you know what? No one thinks we should be in the playoffs. Everyone's dogging us for our loss against Iowa. This is our opportunity to prove it to the committee, to the country that we deserve to be in. So we're going to go win this game and try to win it decisively. So I've switched up to Ohio State. And one of the things that really solidified it for me is, it looks like 33% of the public is on Ohio State, and yet the line has moved 2.5 to 6.5 over the, you know, course of the week. So all that said, I'm going with gut over head, and I'm going Ohio State -6.5.
Lock unity.
Nice.
They're going to blow the doors off of them, aren't they?
I don't know if they're going to blow the doors off of them, but I just look at this matchup and, like Martin said, like 70% of the public is on Wisconsin in this one just because they see the undefeated team, you know, the higher ranked team that's undefeated, and they just go that way. But I just think that if you look closer, I mean, first of all, people have been doubting Wisconsin all season. And now all of a sudden they believe in them, which is kind of strange to me. But I when I look at the matchup just overall, I see two teams that are generally pretty similar, except one is more talented. And then I also see Wisconsin's defense, for as good as it is, and its power success rate on defense against the run, which is like third and short, fourth and short, that kind of stuff. It actually ranks 64th in the country in those kind of short yardage situations, whereas Ohio State's run offense in power success rate is the first in the country. And while Wisconsin's offense is clearly a offense built on the run and one of the best run teams in the country with Jonathan Taylor, Ohio State's defense is the best run defense in the country using S&P+. So there's a couple of key areas right there that Ohio State has an advantage over Wisconsin in that kind of go against Wisconsin's strengths. But even if those balance out, what it comes down to me in the end is the offenses are equal, the defenses are equal. It's going to come down to one of their quarterbacks making a play. And who do you trust more in a conference championship game to make that big throw to win the game for his team, JT Barrett or Alex Hornibrook?
Dwayne Haskins.
Can I
if it's Haskins, who would you trust?
Haskins
more, him or Hornibrook?
The point.
But can I substitute a JT Barrett scramble instead of a JT Barrett throw? Then I trust JT Barrett more.
Either way, but it's just, I mean, Hornibrook goes into those weird moments where all of a sudden he just unleashes a brilliant throw, but he still turns the ball over too often, and I feel like you could afford to turn the ball over against Minnesota, against Maryland, against, you know, Illinois, Purdue, Iowa, Northwestern. I don't know if you can really afford to do it against Ohio State, because I feel like this is the type of game where Wisconsin needs to play its best football game of the year if it's going to beat Ohio State. And I think that's perfectly I think that's with well within the range of possibilities. But I just think that more often than not, Ohio State is going to win this game, and they're probably going to win it by 7 points or more.
Yeah. Well, that extra log that I was thinking about putting on the fire is now thrown back into the backyard, and I'm probably going to change my expert pick. I did not know the public on that. And yeah.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I thought that the public would be all over Ohio State.
I know.
I did too.
And it's the most bet game on the board right now, and 70% of the people are on Wisconsin.
Oh, Ohio State's going to win.
Uh-huh.
Especially, you just mentioned that us against the world mentality. It's like, oh, good, you just gave Urban Meyer the chip on the shoulder angle for motivation going into this game with the second most talented roster in all of college football. Okay, good.
Yeah, and while Urban Meyer has struggled against Big Ten teams as a double-digit favorite, just against ranked teams in general where he's not a double-digit favorite, pretty good.
Mm.
Yeah, I do think that it feels like this is like a 3 to 4 point game, and then Alex Hornibrook pick six comes or something.
Denzel Ward
jumps
around.
There's going to be some turnover that pushes this one on to the Ohio State side of the field, and if it feels like the way this goes. Certainly it could go the other way too, where JT Barrett has a turnover prone game, but I tend to lean towards this Ohio State defense making some plays as well.
How about go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, just a fun fact that has nothing to do with any picks, that Wisconsin is the fifth team in history over the past 25 years to come into a conference title game undefeated and an underdog. It was 1994 Alabama, 2008 Alabama, 2009 Alabama, and 2015 Iowa. So I just think it's funny that Alabama is three of the previous four teams to be an undefeated underdog in a conference title game.
And Iowa.
Who? So 2008 and 2009 Alabama, who were they playing?
Florida.
Florida Timmy and Georgia, Tebow. I believe.
Nah, both of them were Florida.
Were they both Florida? Yeah.
They lost.
So yeah, that makes sense.
Lost to Timmy Tebow in 2008 and then beat Timmy Tebs in 2009. And those are the Timmy Tebs tears on the sideline.
Who could forget? And then, of course, 2015 Iowa was that classic against Michigan State.
Hey, you want to hear something that's really y'all remember Dig?
Oh, the Reddit Dig?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So the first thing I ever had hit the front page of Dig and experienced that traffic hose was just a video of Timmy Tebow crying on the sidelines. This is that's class journalism right there.
That's how Chip got his start becoming a big capital J journalist.
Exactly. I always go back to that moment. I'm like, you were never above anything.
Look at this nerd cry.
All right. So we've got Barton, ULM plus 27, Ohio State minus 6.5, Tom, USC minus 4, Ohio State minus 6.5, Chip, Stanford plus 4, UCF, Memphis under 82. And we'll be getting, I've got a side here for the ACC championship. And I'm sitting here. I'm going to be there. I'll be in the press box, but some of my friends who are in Charlotte are trying to get tickets. And so, of course, I am directing them right to SeatGeek, because here's the deal. It's a sold-out game, but if you want to be able to get them on the secondary market, then that is going to be the best way to do it, because SeatGeek searches multiple ticket sites, and it saves you time and money by doing so that you can get the amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket. Look for those 91s, 92s, like an 89 could be okay, especially if it fits within your budget. Look at those SeatGeek grades. They help you identify the best seats to fit that budget. Plus, every purchase is guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And again, I'm pointing my friends here so that they can try and get them, because if you use that SeatGeek app, which is awesome and really easy to use, you can enter promo code 247 and get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. I've already cashed in on this, but now you can. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code 247 today. That's promo code 247 for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. purchase. And this isn't just sporting events. I mean, this will be for concerts, theater, any kind of live event. That's promo code 24/7 for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Okay, I teased it, so I got to deliver it. Clemson, Miami. No, I'm on Richards. Give me that under 46.5.
Yes.
Lock it up. I want to have the sweats. Yes. I mean, there's no side to feel comfortable in the ACC championship game besides under 46.5, right?
No. I mean, that's the thing. I feel like there's a part of me that wants to see where this line gets before Saturday, because I feel like with the Amon Richards injury, it's bound to inflate the line even further. So where maybe it gets to like 10, 10 and a half, 11. And if it gets to that point, maybe I would consider leaning towards Miami just because I think that'd be somewhat of an overreaction. But just as far as everything sits right now, I feel like the under, just the fact that Miami unders are one of our core principles.
They are. That's right.
I just think that right now that's the smarter play, because I don't think Clemson's going to be – I think Clemson's not going to be looking to run up the score in this one as much. It's just going to be like, listen, we're the better team. We could beat them. We want to keep them off the field, because while Miami's not a great offense, it is explosive and can strike quickly. So I feel like Clemson, for the most part, is just going to want to control the game.
Oh, are you okay, Barton?
I'm good with the unders that you guys have. This is my first two picks today. I feel pretty good about, you know, UL Monroe is my jam.
Monroe,
Ohio State. I've warmed up to. My third pick is on this game, and it's the Clemson side.
Punching in at 9.5.
It feels, yeah, -9.5. This feels like a very Joe play. But there's a big time element of like doubting Miami here. And, you know, I doubted them against Virginia Tech and they covered. I doubted them against Notre Dame and they covered. I doubted them against Virginia and they didn't cover. Doubted them against Pitt and they didn't cover. So what Miami team shows up here? And are they going to rally the troops again after being doubted by everybody yet again? Because, you know, no one's really giving them a chance in this game once again. So all that said, I'm hesitant on this one, and I'm a little bit fearful. But Clemson's just a better team. They get in these, you know, they're in their late season role right now. They blew out Florida State. They handle South Carolina easily. This is their moment to sort of put it all together. So I'm just gonna go with the better team, just not overthink it, and just say Clemson. And I am influenced by Amon Richards being out and Herndon being out and Malik Rozier getting pulled against Pitt. I mean, I think all those things factor in when you're playing maybe the best defensive line in the country. So I think that it's going to be a really close game, at least for a half, because that Miami defense is going to be up to the challenge. But I just wonder if they're going to get worn down by that second half and it starts piling up on them. So I'm cool with y'all's underplay. I'm gonna throw my log on the Clemson Fire.
Prayers for you when it's 24-14 in the fourth quarter and Miami is driving.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out what it was going to be. Like, Mark Richt decides to kick a sad field goal to lose by 8 instead of losing by 11 or something. Like, he'll take 24-16 or 24-13.
In a typical week, I would stay away from this game.
Yeah.
But given the limited options and just that there's, you know, not a whole lot that I'm feeling great about, I'll play it.
The dominance that Clemson played with against South Carolina leaves me in a spot where I'm going to be disappointed if they don't win soundly here. Like, that was the game for me where I was like, all right, that's exactly what you were supposed to do if you're going to be a championship contender. Like, we've gone through the whole gambit with Clemson from like, oh, it's Alabama, Clemson, and then the rest of college football, to like, oh man, can you even trust Clemson? Like, we've sort of picked apart every single angle of this team, and I just think we've come out at the end of the season. I mean, obviously the College Football Playoff Selection Committee made them the new number one team, but you know, like aside from their rankings, like the product on the field, the way this team is playing, they look like they are ready to just, I don't know if they'll win the championship. You know, we'll see based on the semifinal matchups, but like they are looking like they are peaking at the right time. They are on schedule to go and make another run at this thing.
Yeah, and I mean, so many of Miami's wins have been dependent on the turnovers, and they've forced them, so credit to them. But I see Clemson having a game plan that protects them a little bit from that turnover chain. And I think that if they can protect the football, then that's enough for them to, again, just sort of pick up steam and just roll through it.
For sure. All right, so let's throw to you, Tom. What you got?
For my next pick, we're going to the Mountain West.
Fresno State, Boise State?
Yeah. And it's in that game in which I feel so super duper incredibly comfortable with Boise minus 8.5.
Wow. Anti-Jeff Tedford play.
Yeah, and I obviously, you know, obviously they played last week. Fresno won 28-17. And as I mentioned earlier, I love in rematch games going against the previous result. And that's definitely one of the factors here, but it's not the only factor. It's the fact that I feel like, I mean, this game's at Boise State. Last week was at Fresno State. So it's like a 2-week home and home series. But it's just overall this year, let's go over Fresno State on the road this season. Now, the first two games, you know, probably shouldn't count too much, but they lost by 31 at Alabama. They lost by 32 at Washington. They beat a really bad San Jose State team 27-10, but honestly, should have won that game by a lot more because San Jose State, very bad. They crushed San Diego State 27-3. That's the most impressive road win they have. But the last couple of weeks, they've been on the road twice. They only won by 10 at Hawaii, and a couple weeks ago, they only won by 6 at Wyoming. This is just a Fresno State team that hasn't been nearly as good on the road as it is at home, which is the case with a lot of teams. And Boise State, very good team at home, always has been on the blue turf. And I feel like you look at it right now, there's so much public action on Fresno State, yet even though the line opened at 9, it's gone down to 8.5 in most places. And what does that tell us? Yeah, there's some sharp action on Boise State right now, and I'm right behind it because I just look at this team as it's a home game for Boise a week after Boise kind of just had a very basic vanilla game plan against Fresno because there was no point to winning last week for Boise. It's not like had they won last week, they would be in a position for the New Year's Six spot this week with another win. That was not the case. So Boise had no incentive to do anything last week because they knew the real game was this week, the conference championship game. And Boise, I feel like, you know, kept a lot of cards in the deck, but that didn't bring them out. And I think that they're going to bring them out in this one at home in the conference title game. I'm taking Boise minus 8.5.
I like it. I like a lot. Barton, what you got?
That's all I got right now.
Okay, well, we got to talk about the SEC championship, and I do have a play for it.
Yeah, I'll decide as we talk about this whether I want to dive in on this. But for now, I'm clean.
I am going against almost all of my principles, but Auburn, Georgia over 48. And the key phrase is key numbers. Because it opened at 49, and it dropped to 48, and I could see 28-21. And so I could also see Auburn blowing the doors off this. I could also see this game going to overtime. And I don't know. I think that I went back to look at all the SEC championship games, and while there certainly have been your fair share of like 24-14 results, A lot of these get a little bit silly. A lot of times we've got some, you know, a special teams touchdown, a pick six, something that will often, you know, lead to impacting the total lines. You know, if you've got the under, the things that you normally sweat. And so, you know, given the special teams play, Mecole Hardman maybe as a key player who might be able to push this thing over. As soon as it dropped below 49, I decided that my angle for the locks cast, Auburn, Georgia, over 48, let's buckle up and let's hope for some fireworks.
I'm gonna dive in here, and I'm gonna go against that play.
Under.
Because I think yeah, this is the one where Tom sabotaged my Auburn play last time and talked me into the under. and the under was like that made it was a sensible play in the last game. And I think it's still a sensible play. If you look at the history between these two teams, you look at how good Georgia's defense has been all year. They've now gotten a look at Auburn's offense. I think they'll come ready to play. I get what you're saying, Chip, and I get that it's a little worrisome that it's dropped below that 49 number. But I have a hard time seeing two consecutive games between these two teams be shootouts. And so for that reason, I'm just going to go with just the trends here. And I'm going to say this game is these defenses are too good. Georgia's defense is too good to have lay another egg. I think it's a low scoring game. 23-20 type of showdown.
Tom, what's your you've got no locks, any leans?
Oh no, I've got a lock.
Oh, okay. What you got?
I'm on Georgia and the points, which is at 2.5 right now.
Ballsy. Do you think they win?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's if you're taking 2.5, you better think they're gonna win.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's another one of those rematch things, but it's also I feel like this line is somewhat of an overreaction to what happened last time they met, which, you know, Auburn did crush Georgia, but there are a couple things to remember about that game that I think we need to remember when picking this week's game. First of all, that game was at Auburn. This game is at the quote-unquote neutral site of Atlanta. Now, granted, Auburn's not far away, but Atlanta is a Georgia town mostly before it's an Auburn town or it's ever going to be. So it's a much friendlier environment for the Bulldogs than Jordan-Hare was. And also, if we remember what happened in that Auburn game, you know, Georgia kind of fell behind and panicked. It started thinking it was a passing team, and it was trying to throw the ball against one of the best pass defenses in the country, a team that you don't want to try throwing against when it's not what Georgia does, and it's what they do really well. I don't think that happens this week. I think Georgia remembers who it is, and it sticks to its run game. And, yeah, it's going to have to throw a little bit, but I think that they're going to stick to the run. And like you said, it's going to be a lower-scoring game. I don't think it's going to get away from them, so they'll be able to stick from the run. And this is still one of the best red zone offenses in the country going against a red zone defense, which hasn't been fantastic this season. So I look at the matchups, and there's still the question of Kerryon Johnson, whether he's going to play or not. We don't know. I don't know. But even if he does, I still feel real confident in Georgia. And then just another factor of fading the public, as you'd expect, most of the money right now is on Auburn based on what happened a few weeks ago. But let's not forget that a few weeks ago when they were coming up with the potential matchups and the spreads, Georgia was the 2.5-point favorite, and now they're the 2.5-point underdog. And has it really been a 5-point swing between these two teams? I'm not buying that, so I'm taking Georgia in the points.
I'm on, as my lean and my expert pick, I'm also picking Georgia to win. And I just, Auburn's got to do it outside of Jordan-Hare.
Yeah.
I mean, both you guys have been talking about home away splits all season. And yeah. I'll be interested to see if Auburn does it, man. They're like, if Auburn does it against Georgia, they might go win the national championship. I have less confidence in Georgia winning this game and then winning the national championship. If Auburn wins this game, they absolutely can go beat anybody in the college football playoff. But
it'll be everybody's pick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And you just have to think that, like, you know, with what Auburn's done, it's beaten Georgia. You know, it's beaten two of its biggest rivals in the last 3 weeks, both of them while they were ranked number one. There has to be some kind of letdown. There just has to be. You know, you've seen it too many times in history with college football teams, but we've never really seen a team beat its rival number one at home, 2 weeks later beat its bigger rival number one at home. So it's such a straight. I feel like if Auburn had a bye week, I would be a lot. If there had been a week off between the last week and this team for both games, I would feel much more confident in Auburn. But I just feel like coming off of those emotional highs, there has to be a letdown. There just has to be. And plus, with the Gus Malzahn Arkansas rumors, Kevin Steele's been rumored for, you know, the Tennessee job at times. His name's been coming up. There's a lot of distractions right now. There's a lot of hype about Auburn. And I just feel like, you know, when all that kind of stuff happens, fade it.
Anybody got any picks left?
I do.
What do you have?
The game that everybody wants to know, obviously, the MAC title game.
Okay, what's your pick?
Akron and Toledo. I'm going over 57.5.
All right.
Just because I expect there to be points scored. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if Toledo gets 49 on its own.
Shout out to Terry getting it done with the Zips. You know, I told my NC State friends, last time they had a coaching search, they hired the MAC champion. Like I forgot who Northern Illinois played that year, but it was another coach that like everybody was talking about. And it was like, oh, whoever wins this game, that's who NC State's going to hire.
Wasn't it Clawson?
Was that it? Was it?
Didn't they both get hired the same year?
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
Yeah.
And then Akron Toledo. You know, if Akron wins, you just hire Terry Bowden, and then all of a sudden you've got Chuck Amato back. There you go. Life comes full circle. Barton, do you have any picks left? I'm done.
I don't. We should probably say real quick.
Oklahoma
TCU.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I don't like anything.
I think I lean TCU if I had to make a play. I don't want to make a play on this one, but, you know, TCU is too well coached to get, you know, a two-score loss twice in a month against this team, even as good as Oklahoma is. So I would lean TCU, but certainly not good enough to play it.
I lean TCU at 7. If it got to 7.5, I'd feel a lot more comfortable with it.
We got to pick it at 7.5 for the expert picks, and that's a situation where if you're a listener out there with the opportunity and you really want to have action. I mean, we just laid out, like, I don't know, 12 to 15 plays that we feel more confident in this game. But if you absolutely have to have action in this Big 12 championship game, then, try and get that extra half a point, because I definitely see this being close. And the over-under even seemed perfect. The over-under in this game is 63.5.
Yeah. They've got this game pegged, pretty much, is all it is. Vegas has this one down.
Yeah. Stay away.
I've got one more lock, by the way.
Oh, nice.
I've got to catch up. I'm 11 picks behind, for the love of God. This is an extreme fade the public play in the Conference USA Championship. North Texas +11 at FAU.
Good luck.
As of right now, there's a lot. This game's actually receiving quite a bit of action. Outside the Power 5 games and the AAC game, it's receiving more action than any other game. And 95% of the money's on FAU.
I faded Lane to my detriment in the Shula Bowl. Good luck.
North Texas is a good team. This isn't FAU playing another, you know, regular Conference USA team. North Texas is a good team.
Shout out Seth Luttrell. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck. Lane's a scary one to bet against right now.
Lane's too busy trolling Tennessee fans.
How in the hell is Lane have time to watch film for as much as he's on Twitter?
That's what I want to know. You know what it is? Lane is tweeting while watching film.
Seriously, I think that is what happened. Like, his assistants are breaking down tape, and he's got his phone open just tweeting the North Korea Tennessee memes.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening, and it's because he knows what he's going to do already. He's like, yeah, whatever. I know what I'm going to run.
Oh, man. Good stuff. All right, to review. Barton, he's got ULM +27, Ohio State -6.5, Clemson -9.5, Auburn, Georgia -48. Tom's got USC -4, Ohio State -6.5, Clemson, Miami -46.5, Boise -8.5, Georgia +2.5, Akron Toledo over 57.5, North Texas fade Lane +11, Chip's got Stanford +4, UCF Memphis -82, Auburn Georgia over 48, Clemson Miami -46.5. Gentlemen, best of luck. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Later.